Well, I'll say good morning again. Now, brethren, we just completed the day of Thanksgiving, where we ate lots of turkey. Some watched many football games. Some watched parades, movies. And we spent a lot of time with family, didn't we? No doubt some overdid it, in drinking too much alcohol or eating too much food. So today what I want to do, I wanted to address thankfulness or gratefulness as God sees it in His Word, the Bible. Now, gratefulness is the foundation of a believer's walk with God and God's will in our daily lives. God looks at it as a very important quality for all of His people. Very, very important. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. It's a fairly short verse. It says, in everything, give thanks. God wants us to give thanks in everything. It says, this is the will of God. I guess I'll have to get into one of these waters. It says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So to me, tells me that we are to give thanks. It is God's will. And don't we want to do God's will? That's why it's so important to God. Now there's a whole psalm which is referred to as the Psalm of Thanksgiving. And that psalm is Psalm 100. Can turn to it, Psalm 100, and we'll read it. Psalm 100, referred to as a psalm of thanksgiving. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now, when you read all that, isn't that very true? Then he says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. It says, be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. That's a very meaningful psalm when you think of it in terms of thanksgiving. He wants us to be thankful, no matter where we are. We must give thanks for all things, including unexpected trials or tests, physical infirmities, distressing situations, and as well as the many blessings He bestows upon us. Again, gratefulness or thankfulness is very important to God. Before going further, I want to talk about what is the definition of true gratefulness or thankfulness. Now, the Greek word, I'm not going to try and pronounce it, it's E-U-C-H-A-R-I-S-T-O-S. Maybe Eucharis or something, I don't know. Which means thankful. That's what that word, the Greek word means, thankful. It means mindful of favors or grateful. It also means recognizing good things that have happened to you and acknowledging the people who made these good things happen. Just think about that. The good things that happen, acknowledging the people that made them happen. And a lot of that is a lot of our friends right here. They make things happen. We should be thankful for that. In the Bible, gratefulness is truly in recognizing who God is and what he has done for us. Now, who God is a big subject just by itself. We know how great, how awesome, how wonderful he is. And he's interested in each and every one of us. That's our God. That's our loving Father. I think it's in 1 John 4, is it, where it talks about God being love. That's the way he is. And what has he done for us? He has done a lot. We'll get into that in more detail in a little bit. He has done an awful lot. But that's what gratefulness or thankfulness really is. So why should we thank God for all things? We just read that he wants us to thank him for all things. Well, why should we? Well, first of all things come from God. Everything we have, you can look around us, everything really came from God. James 1:17. Notice here it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. That is from God. And comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variations or shadow of turning. So everything good does come from God. Every good gift comes from him. And we should appreciate that everything does come from him. You know, Job recognized that everything comes from God also. In Job 1, go to Job 1 and read that. Job 1, verse 21, he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In other words, everything God gives is from him. We have to appreciate everything we have comes from God. Everything that is. Even our own lives. He gave us life. And he can take it away anytime he wishes to. But it does come from God. Also David. David also gave God credit for his wealth, honor, strength, and power. You can read that in 1 Chronicles. Just back a few pages, 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29. Notice here, it says, both riches and honor come from you, referring to God. And you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. So yes, David realized too that his honor, his strength, his power, his wealth, everything came from God. Do we recognize that ourselves? And what we have. Some of us may be quite wealthy. Some of us may be quite poor. But it doesn't matter. Everything we have really comes from God. And we should realize that and thank God for that. Now the thing is that all things are for our good. Everything we go through or whatever is for our good. You can go to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 18. It says, "For I consider that for the sufferings of this present time are not worthy compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us." Now we do go so through suffering. All of us have suffered one way or the other. And we need to learn many lessons from those sufferings. But those sufferings really are nothing compared to the glory that he's going to give us when we're born into the family of God. It's going to be a tremendous thing, that great glory. So yes, everything we go through is for our good, even sufferings. That's hard to understand sometimes, especially when we're really, really hurting one way or the other. Could be mentally, it could be physically. But it is for our good, and he says that's nothing compared to the glory that he's going to give us. That's something to be really thankful for. You know, Jeremiah had an observation too. And we can read that in Lamentations. Lamentations, it's right after Jeremiah. Lamentations 3, beginning in verse 25, it says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him." God wants us to wait. In a sense, like Tony Dominguez says, be patient. To the soul who seeks him, he wants us to seek him. Every day of our lives, we need to continually to seek and wait for God. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone and keep silent, because God has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. But let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him and be full of reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever, though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Now that was Jeremiah's observation. He saw too, yeah, we can go through some difficult times, but God is there. He's merciful. He loves us. He shows compassion to us. That's why things that happen are for our good, even though it may not appear that way at the time. I don't know, well, most of you know that I've had this soreness in my shoulder as a result of shingles. It's going on 11, 12 years now. I'm still being patient, God. Tony. But you know, there's something God wants me to learn from it. As soon as I get home from here, I usually take my shirt off and go bareback, because that gives me more relief than anything when nothing is touching it. But you know, we all have something. We all have something. And a lot of the things some of you have, I may not even be aware of. But we all have something. And we have to thank God that he gave us those kinds of trials for a reason. There's something he wants us to learn. The other thing why we should be thankful for all things is to produce godly character. God is producing character in us. Romans 8:28 tells us that all things work together for good. Even trials will develop character in us. Turn to James 1. James 1, 2 to 4, it says, "But let patience have its perfect work." There you are, Tony. "That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Well, lacking nothing even means character. godly character. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives it liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. I think that's all I wanted to read there. But we'll go into Romans 5, which even shows deeper how it will really lead to the development of character. But my fourth point was it produces also genuine love. And love is produced in us through undergoing trials in our lives. That's hard to figure out, but that's what Scripture tells us. Let's go to Romans 5, and it kind of covers the previous point at the same time. Romans 5. Romans 5, beginning in verse 3, it says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character." There we have it again. "And character, hope." Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. Well, yes, it produces character, but also love in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So yes, thanking God for all things does produce character, and it produces genuine love in us. Because a lot of times when we go through a certain type of trial, we can have sympathy for those that have even more severe trials. And it gives us a certain amount of extra love for those individuals that are going through that, doesn't it? I know Brennan and Mikola, they're over in Malawi, and they see all kinds of stuff that just doesn't happen here. And that gives them a certain amount of love for those people. They love those two people dearly. And we do too. And every time we take a collection and send it over to them to help them, that shows our love for them, and they recognize that. And it's something we need to do. It's just wish we had millions of dollars, we could send it to all these different foreign countries to help them out. Because sometimes it takes only a little to mean a lot for those particular people. So yes, we're all going undergoing trials, but it does help us to have love. Also, giving thanks for all things also brings us closer to God. You know, David sought God when he was in trouble. In Psalm 119:67, you don't have to turn to it, but David said, "Before he was afflicted, he went astray. But then he started keeping God's word." It took a certain amount of affliction to get him to turn around. He said it was good for him to be afflicted. That was in verse 71, Psalm 119. "Then he knew God's judgments are right." He mentions that in verse 75. So he knew that these things brought him closer to God and was good for him. Now, we tend to forget about God when we go through trials. We get ourselves all focused kind of on ourselves. Instead, we need to be thankful and to learn what God wants us to learn from those trials. Like I say, thankfulness really enters into all of these different aspects. Let's turn to Ephesians 5. We're fairly close to it. Ephesians 5. Verse from 18 to 20, it says, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dispensation, but be filled with the Spirit," filled with God's Spirit, "speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." And verse 20 says, "giving thanks always for all things to God the Father and the name of our Lord Jesus Christ," in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always. And you know, when we do sing psalms and songs and in the church and everything, many of those are giving thanks to God. And it makes us happy to be able to sing those, makes us joyful, causes our heart to be very happy. And God watches us too and sees us that way. He sees us being very thankful and joyful as we praise Him and giving thanks always to Him. So it's very important that we do that. Now I'm going to ask another question. When should we give thanks to God? When should we give thanks to God? I already said, always, as stated in Ephesians 5, but let's get a little bit more specific. Give thanks to God when we think of God's name and what it really means. When we think how awesome God is, how loving He is, how merciful He is, how compassionate He is for us. We can even think further than that. We can think of His vast creation, and we saw that a couple weeks ago. God made all those things. He's very awesome. So when we think of Him in those terms, give thanks to Him. Say, "Thank you, Father, for all these things that you have blessed us with." Hebrews 13. It says, "Therefore by Him let us," this is verse 15, "therefore by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God," that is, the fruit of our lips, "giving thanks to His name." Again, that means more than just His name, it means what His name really means. How great He really is. How awesome He really is. Another time we give thanks to God is when we wake up during the night and can't sleep. Give thanks to God. Maybe it'll help you go to sleep. You know. Well, Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 62. Says, "At midnight I will rise to give you thanks," or to give thanks to you, "because of your righteous judgments." That's at midnight. Well, it doesn't mean to say you set your alarm clock and wake up midnight and give Him thanks. No, anytime. If you're like me, I wake up sometimes almost every hour. You know, and a lot of times I will pray about a certain situation. But even at midnight, you can give Him thanks. Another time is during Sabbath services or holy day services. In Psalm 35:18, David said that, "I will give you thanks in the great assembly," referring to them being together with others. "And I will praise you among many people," giving praise when He's with a lot of people. And we do that right here when we sing praises to God. We can even do that silently. when we're with other people during Sabbath services or holy day services, or you could say a Bible study or whatever. That's when you can do it. Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 15 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, that's all of us, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. I think Tony referred to this already. No, I wanted to go down to 15, but that's good. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. The body of Christ, we are to be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we do those things when we assemble together as Sabbath services, don't we? We sing praises to God. That's when we give thanks. There's even some songs that says thank you in them. Like Thank You, Lord. I think of that particular one of my favorites. So we do that when we are together with people and we praise God together and thank God as a congregation. Another time is when your faith is tested. Kind of touched on some of this already, but David showed us what he did when his faith, when he was faced with adversity. Mentioned that in Daniel 6. Probably know already what I'm going to be referring to. Daniel 6. In verse 10 it says, now when David knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. It was Daniel's custom to praise God and to thank him. And he knew what he was going to be facing. He's going to be thrown into the lion's den. But he gave God praise. He knew he was facing a severe trial, and he knew that God would deliver him somehow, and God did deliver him from the den of lions. The point is, he prayed 3 times a day too, thanking God for what he was going through. Another time we give thanks to God is when we're about to eat a meal. Some people call it grace. Some people say we're going to give thanks for this meal. There's several different scriptures on that, but I just referred to one here, Acts 27. I mean, you even look at what Christ did before he instituted the bread and the wine for Passover. He blessed it. Give thanks for it. But let's Acts 27, verse 35. It says, and when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And then he had broken it and began to eat. So it shows giving thanks before a meal. And that's what Christ did, and that's what we need to do too. Another time we would give thanks to God is when we remember the brethren. Now we just mentioned about the brethren being over in Malawi, but there's brethren around the world. We need to pray for all of these brethren, no matter where they are. They need our prayers. And I bet you if we ask them, they're probably praying for us. Bet you they are. We can go to 1 Thessalonians. One, 2 to 4, it says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Talking about the brethren, he's giving thanks to God for them, making mention of you in our prayers, mentioning the brethren in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Realize the work of faith that the brethren, the labor of love they're doing, the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Talking about praying for the brethren, praying for one another. I know probably all of us realize we need the brethren's prayers too. Everybody needs the brethren's prayers, but we need to be... let the brethren know that we're really praying for them too. Another time, and I could go on and on with this, but one other thing I want to mention is when God answers our prayers, do we thank him? Do we thank him for answering our prayers? That is very important. It could be a healing. It could be a circumstance that we're in, we want to get out of. It could be a job that he's given us. Do we thank him for that? It's very easy to ask, but do we thank? Well, let's notice Jesus Christ's example, what he did. Go to John 11. John 11, beginning in 41. It says, then he took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying, referring to Lazarus. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Thanking his Father for hearing him. We need to do the same. And know that you always hear me. You realize God the Father always hears him. He hears us too. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Those are Christ's own words. Yes, we have to always thank God for hearing our prayers and answering our prayers. Because he will. Some people may think, well, he didn't really answer my prayer. Yes, he did. It's just that we didn't get the answer that we were hoping for. He gives us the right answer. We don't necessarily get the answer that we asked for. So those are just a few times or different situations where we could thank God for hearing us and answering us and so on. But how do we thank others, the people in this room here, or the brethren around the world? How do we do it? Well, most of us should know all of this, but I'm just going to review how we can do it. Well, the obvious thing is just tell them. Say, Faye James, I thank you for all the wonderful things you do. Tony Dominguez, thank you for song leading. Anybody like that? Just thank them. Be quick to thank others what they have done and said to you. Sometimes people will say some wonderful things. Well, thank them for that. Thank you for your consideration. So telling them is a very obvious thing to do. The other thing you can do is to write to them. Write a kind letter, well thought out. Or you could send a nice card expressing gratefulness. That's one thing I do have a problem with sometimes is My wife says, well, we need a card for this one and that one and the other one. And 2 days later, hey, did you find a card? Oh, I forgot. Because I usually have to write it out. But it's good to do that. Send a person a card. We've gotten cards in the mail already. I won't say from who, but just thanking for the service and things like that. And that's great. So write to them. Even now, the newest way is the email or the iPhone. You can send text messages or emails. That's good too. Now, you can also do it in public. Like I'm standing up here now, we can tell others the kind deeds that they have done for others and how these deeds benefited maybe your life or my life and so on. You can do that. Or if you're among a bunch of ladies talking, hey, you can express thankfulness to all of them for what they have done. That's what I call in public. Then you can give thanks to others just by giving them gifts. Now, you should make the gift appropriate for the person receiving it, something that they will treasure. Everybody likes to receive gifts. Well, that's a way of giving thanks to somebody. The other way is to spend time with them. Spend quality time. You could even take them to a special event. It could be a way of saying thank you. Could be to the stock show, just remember that. It could be to a museum. It could be to anything. Or maybe it's just go out and get a McDonald's hamburger. Just doing something special just to say thank you. Then you can also let people know of your prayers for them. You can express your feelings of thankfulness by telling them that you're praying for them. Everybody likes to hear that, and I'm really praying for you that you will get this job or that you can feel better or something like that. Everybody needs to know that. That's just a few ways that we can give thanks to others. You can probably come up with a dozen other ones. I just want to touch on those. Now the question is, what all can we thank God for? Touched on a few things already. So what I did, I just started writing down. No particular order, not of any certain importance. But one of the first things I thought about is my calling. I thank God for calling me. And I thank God for being able to be faithful. Because I know most people in the world are not called, and a lot of people have not been faithful. We can thank God that we have been faithful. And also, of course, thank God for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We can't thank him enough for that. His sacrifice will enable us to have salvation one day. Those are really important things. Of course, I always thank God for my wife and or for your husband, your children, grandchildren. It's something to really thank God for. And if you're working, thank God for your job. A lot of people don't have jobs. Thank them for that. For physical blessings, maybe your home, your car, your iPhone, for anything you have. Thank God for those things. Thank God for your spiritual understanding and wisdom, because that does come from God. That ties right into the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that he has given you. Sometimes we don't think of these things, but we need to thank God for that. I thank God for the brethren. Paul thanked God for Scripture there's the various scriptures, but he thanked them for the Romans, for the Corinthians, for the Ephesians, for the Philippians, for the Colossians, for the Thessalonians, and so on. So we need to thank God. Thank God for the brethren, the church, Because that's the highlight of our week, really, is to thank God for all of you and to meet all of you and to see all of you. Not only here, but around the world. The young people, the older people, everybody. Thank God for them. Of course, so obvious here, we thank God for this hall, don't we? Nice hall to meet in, and it's getting nicer every week as they do more and more. I'm hearing that this month, Kevin told me that perhaps we'll have the new sound system and lighting, so that'll be something. He said already they put in some new tiles up here. So it's getting better and nicer, and we can thank God for that. We can thank God in our part in preaching the gospel. Sure, maybe we can only pray about it and send in tithes and offerings and so on. But it's great to be part of an organization that really believes in preaching the gospel. And we can thank God for that. We can thank God for the meaning of his plan, the Feast of Tabernacles. It was mentioned about the meaning of his plan. Actually, all the holy days, right from the Passover through to the last great day, gives us the full meaning of his plan. Not many in the world know this. We can thank God for that. Of course, we can thank God for Sabbath service, holy days, and so on. And we thank God for all of our relatives. All of us have a lot of relatives. And they're special to us. I know a lot of my relatives live all the way up into Canada, Ontario. We try to get up there every couple years, but we thank God for them. And we have relatives in Washington State and in California. We try to get to see them every year as well. We thank God for them. But we had a lot of relatives at one point in Wenatchee, Washington. There's only a couple left. They've all died. They got older because they were quite a bit older than us. But the point is, when we could, we went to family reunions in Wenatchee, in both sides of the family. And there were large numbers of people. Now there's nobody left. So while you have your relatives, brethren, visit them. Thank God for them. Interface with them as much as you possibly can. And of course, we thank God for our health, for the protection he gives us, for the food he gives us, the clothing, the shelter. Thank God for all of these things. We thank God for the great love he has for us. We talked about that earlier. Thank him for those things. And getting local here, we thank God for the sound crew in the back. We didn't have them, maybe we wouldn't hear half of this. Thank God for the video man back there too. And for anybody that's setting up. The kitchen servers. Thank God for the ministry. Thank God for what we have, no matter what it is. Have you ever thanked God for enabling you to give offerings and able to send tithes in? We need to thank God that we're able to do that. And just being alive is something to thank God for. And to be able to meet in peace and safety. Again, I have a list. I could write several pages probably what you can thank God for. Those are just a few examples. I probably missed out on a very important one, but that's okay. You can think of that yourself and give God thanks for that. Now, we talked about thanking God, thanking others, and so on. Now, I want to ask you a question. What is the opposite of gratefulness or thankfulness? What's the very opposite? You could come up with different things, but the very opposite really is complaining. What did the Israelites do? They complained, didn't they, when they came out of Egypt? They didn't have this, they didn't have that, rather than thanking God for deliverance. Complaining is the worst possible thing you can do for your health and wealth. It can affect your health and your wealth. Complainers generally have a rough life, and it gets worse and worse. They tend to attract negativity and tend to hang around with similar people. Now, as God's people, we need to be grateful for what God has, for what we have, and not complain for what we don't have. Be very grateful for what we have. Now, I'm going to give you a homework assignment. It's that everybody can do. It could change your life. For the next 7 days, I challenge all of you not to complain at all. Not just out loud, but in your head as well. Don't complain at all. This may be a difficult thing to do. But just don't complain at all for 7 days. You must do it a full 7 days. Keep your focus on the positive. Don't allow any junk to enter your mind. Now, you could use different words for junk, but I won't. Keep your mind clean. And if you hear yourself blaming or justifying or complaining, cease and desist immediately. Put a stop to it immediately. Because it is very imperative that you have your thoughts and that you choose your thoughts and words wisely. In other words, focus on being grateful. If you do this, see what will happen. If you tend to be a complainer or a negative person, perhaps that will change. Because your habit will change. And you will become more positive and more thankful. So as you can see, gratefulness is very important to God. Or you can say thankfulness, means the same thing. He wants us to give thanks for everything, even including trials that we undergo. Now, we discuss various reasons to thank God for all things. We can thank God anytime, even in the middle of the night, should we wake up. Let's be positive and very thankful people of God. We should be known as thankful people of God. That is God's will, so let that be our will. I'd also ask you to go ahead and read the whole book of Psalms. It's full of thanksgiving to God in there. The whole book of Psalms is one of the best books for giving thanks, and we read Psalm 100 earlier. It mentions thanksgiving more than any other book in the Bible. Brethren, all I can say, I certainly thank you, thank God for all of you. I really do. Wonderful people, we love you all. Let's close with this final scripture in Colossians 2. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. It says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. And all of you have. So walk in him. Walk according to the way Christ walked. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. And brethren, we are established in the faith. And that goes on and on. As you have been taught those things. Then it says, abounding in it with thanksgiving, or overflowing with thanksgiving. I want to leave you with that.